dirt. You'll observe it's certainly not inert. From a worm to a chicken, you're never alone on the loam. And it's time to get to work. We've been looking up. We've been messing around. We've been freaking out.
Welcome to Local Food Connections, where we discuss the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. The Local Food Connection show is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We acknowledge that in Australia we are growing food on the unceded land of many Indigenous nations, and we pay respects to all those who managed this land for millennia before us. I'm Anne Stanley. My co-host is Amy Chiara. Hi, Amy.
Hey.
And our guest today is Georgia Savage. Georgia is the general manager of the Community Grocer, which was established in 2014 and runs weekly affordable fresh food markets. The idea is to support healthy connected communities and help with food insecurity. In Melbourne, there are community grocers in Fitzroy, in Pakenham and in Carlton, and as of last week in Flemington. So they've opened a new one in Flemington. So welcome, Georgia.
Thanks so much for having me, Anne and Amy.
We're Zooming this one and you're up in central Victoria.
I am in a small little town called Gordon. I'm on the way to Ballarat.
Uh-huh. Okay. So your background is in public health and in community development. Can you tell us what that is, what sort of work you've been doing?
Absolutely. So I first studied international public health and worked in more of the international development humanitarian aid sector. And so was able to do a lot of travel and work overseas for a number of years. But eventually I got to a point where I felt the work I was doing was not, I wasn't really part of the communities in which I was working. Oh. And I felt a real disconnect and that I wasn't the best person to be working to find solutions to the problems that some of the communities in the Pacific Islands, that I was working with, some of the challenges that were facing. And so I really wanted to redirect my focus to working more locally. And so whilst I didn't necessarily have a background in nutrition or food, I took some time out to find what I really loved. And that turned out to be gardening and growing food. And I really came to understand in my mid to late 20s the power of food as a connector, and just how good it feels to feed people, to eat with people, to grow food, and how incredible of a connector it really is. And so that brought me to really wanting to work in food systems. And at the time I was really just experimenting and working across a whole bunch of different organisations. I was volunteering with Farmer Incubator, and I started volunteering with the Community Grocer as well at our Carlton Market, which was launched back in 2014. So in the very early days of that, I came on board as a volunteer and just immediately fell in love with the model and the marketplace, more than the theory of what we were doing. It was just such a beautiful place to spend a morning, surrounded by so much fruit and veg, and chatting with a wonderful group of people, all who knew so much about food and wanted to share their love of food. And it felt like really important and impactful work as well, knowing that the food that was available was there at a really affordable price, and that it really meant a lot to people who were shopping with us. And so over the next few years, I moved from volunteer to market manager, and eventually was on the board for a few years at the Community Grocer, working, I guess, a bit more behind the scenes to shape strategy and growth. And then I took a few years out to have a little kiddo, and then I've kind of come full circle now and returned back to the Community Grocer in the role as general manager about 18 months ago. And it's really great to be back. It feels like it's one of those jobs that's just got its way into my heart, and I'm not sure I'll ever be able to leave the organisation.
Ah, that's good. That's good. You mentioned before about food systems. Are you able to talk a little bit? It'd be interesting to hear a comparison of how you understand the food system that Melbourne's a part of, that we're all a part of, and the food system, say, in one of the Pacific Islands where you worked? What's the difference?
Yeah, I think something that is really unique about the Australian food system, at least, I mean, I guess there's systems within systems, but something that's really unique about Australia is that we produce so much food, much more food than we need in order to ensure the food security of our community, which is really different to a lot of smaller island nations or even developing low resource settings. And so we are in a really unique position that there is no reason why people in Australia should be experiencing food insecurity. We have more than enough food available for everybody. And that there's something a little bit broken at a systems level. So something's happening around supply and demand and movement of produce and availability and affordability that means that people are food insecure and they can't afford to buy what they want and need to eat. And so I think it's a really different, I never kind of studied food in a development context in the Pacific, but my experience and what I saw was that there are a lot of smallholder producers in the Pacific who were doing growing amazing food, but that there wasn't necessarily enough arable land in those island countries to grow all of the food that's needed. So it puts the whole country in a much more vulnerable position.
All right. So we're a very rich country, and we're very rich in food, and yet we've got people suffering from food insecurity. Have you got a
Yeah.
theory? Is that what you're going to ask, Amy? Were you going to?
Oh, well, I was going to ask if one of the differences that you're finding is that in Australia, we're very much one of the things that I think people struggle with is not just the rising costs of food, but finding time to make and prepare food. We're very reliant on ready-to-go type meals like, drive-ins, Maccas and stuff like that. I'm just curious how that plays into the systems here in Australia. Absolutely. I think it's one of those really foundational things that as a culture, we're not valuing the time spent to prepare food and even the literacy to be able to, make meals, and to use fresh produce. And I think that that definitely contributes to food insecurity. It's one of a couple of dimensions that exist around food insecurity. So, it's called food utilization. Can people actually, do they have the skills and the resources? Do they have refrigeration and the equipment required to prepare food as well? And I think that that is one of the key drivers behind food insecurity and or kind of undernutrition or poor nutrition.
We also rely on every household to have to make and prepare their own foods. Like we live in a culture where everyone is responsible for their selves and their food. It's like there are now community kitchens emerging. Like where I live in Coburg, there's a few nights at a few places like Catalyst and Cafe Gummo where you can go and you can get like a $5 or a free meal. And it's just prepared in a big kitchen, and it's like a rice and a curry or something. And honestly, as someone who works a lot and is very busy, it's actually quite an amazing thing to just turn up in a social setting where they've cooked a big vat of food for everyone. It's like, oh great, I've got dinner, I didn't have to think about it tonight. But also, it's for so many people. Like it's like one meal and it's going out to so many people as well, rather than just every single person having to do the labor, go do the shopping, and then, yeah, take it home.
That sounds like a really beautiful program or activity that's happening, and also, like, not only feeds people, but sounds like there's a social connection element that you can leave work, head down there, and catch up with some people and share a meal with people that's nourishing. And so, I think that's important in a number of ways. I think that's where food is so special. And it is, we do have to find ways of kind of breaking apart this atomized way that we live and finding points where we can connect in these other spaces.
Yeah, that's a really important point. So, I mean, if you're eating good food with other people, you're nurturing your mental health and your physical health, aren't you? in just a normal, natural way, that's the right way to live. So just in terms of the people who are food insecure in Melbourne, which, in this very rich city, who are you finding are finding it difficult to get enough food, or enough good food at least?
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of different kind of statistics out around food insecurity. It's measured in a number of different ways, so it can be difficult to put a number on exactly the number of people. But in terms of who, we know that there are groups within the community who are more at risk of food insecurity. People who are experiencing homelessness, people who are living on a low income, students, international students, living in social housing, people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds are single mothers and single parent families. They're all groups of people who we know are at higher risk of food insecurity. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why that is the case. I think it's really important that we have programs and projects that help support food security for those kind of target groups in a way that is meaningful and relevant for each of those groups, because it is a really, all of those groups I've mentioned, it's a really diverse range of people with needs, different needs, and different experiences.
Yeah, so I'd imagine there would be some people who just don't have a fridge or a microwave, for even if they're especially if they're living rough. And then you'd have some people who got those things but just can't work. They've got a young kid or something, so they just haven't got enough money to
Exactly.
get good food.
We've got
Or
a.
just time poor and they bought their veggies and they're just sitting in the fridge, and night after night those veggies get a little bit worse.
And then haven't got the time to do anything with them, or the inspiration or the knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a program at the community grocer called the Grocer Gift Card Program. So whilst we have the markets, which we're trying to make them affordable and access making produce affordable and accessible for everybody at the markets, we also acknowledge that there are some people who just don't have the income spend on fruit and veg, and we're seeing that increase as well with the cost of living crisis. There's just many more people and different people who just can't afford to buy fruit and veg. And so through partnerships with local agencies, we have grocer gift cards, which are effectively a food voucher, which are distributed to people in need who might be experiencing food insecurity, and they can come in and shop with us. And different agencies use these vouchers in different ways. So, one of our partners works with public housing tenants who are trying to build skills around how to utilize food. And so, they get a grocer gift card so that they can start to do some shopping without it costing them and build those skills in a really supported way, in the hope that they can then transition into purchasing their own groceries, with the income that they do have. But there's some skills building that needs to happen before that can occur. And then we have other agencies who are providing grocery gift cards to people who might be experiencing homelessness and want to come in and buy a bunch of fresh fruit so that they can keep eating day to day. We might have larger families who would otherwise be relying on unhealthy kind of packaged foods, which are generally cheaper, and not so they're just not able to afford fruit and veg. But through a grocer gift card, they're now able to come and shop for the family for the week, and fruit and veg they need. So everyone's got a really different experience of food insecurity, and I think we need to find solutions that meet people's needs where they are.
Have you had much contact with the disabled community around food insecurity?
I wouldn't say specifically. We certainly have many customers with who come and shop with us who have a disability. But in terms of, and we have grocer gift cards that are distributed through partner agencies to people who would be living with a disability, but we haven't kind of done any systematic reach out to any peak bodies or organisations that are working in that space.
Okay, we're going to have a short break, Georgia, and then we'll be right back and you can talk to us a little bit more about where the food comes from and what your new operation at Flemington is.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Wildlife Victoria is a non-profit wildlife emergency response service dedicated to helping wildlife in need across Victoria. Our volunteers rescue and rehabilitate sick, injured, and orphaned wildlife. If you see wildlife that may need our help, on the road, in your backyard, or in the bush, please contact us immediately on 84007300. That's 84007300. To donate or to become a volunteer, visit wildlifevictoria.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
This is a local food connection show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. If you miss an episode, go to www.3cr.org.au/local food connections and the latest episode will be there along with all the podcasts. Today on Local Food Connections, our guest is Georgia Savage, and she's here today to talk to us about the Community Grocer, a social enterprise that seeks to reduce food insecurity by giving people access to affordable, healthy and quality produce, as well as a sense of community and belonging. So, Georgia, where does the food come from? Where do you source it?
Most of the food that we sell at the market comes directly from the wholesale markets. So there's a large wholesale market in Epping where a lot of local producers and farmers are bringing their produce in for a lot of the greengrocers and basically anyone who's not the supermarket uses that as a supply chain to bring produce, to purchase produce. And so that's where we go. And we are always selling Australian grown produce, if not Victorian grown produce. So we really try and preference local produce where we can. And we've very much focused on, I guess to date, we've really just sold conventionally grown produce to customers. Not had a lot of demand from customers seeking organic or produce grown in a regenerative way, but our customers are incredibly discerning in terms of quality. And so they know good produce when they see good produce. And so about a year ago, we started having conversations about wanting to bring in produce that was grown quite hyper-locally or grown in regenerative and sustainable ways to make sure that we were making the healthiest food, the food grown in the healthiest way, most accessible even for people, even if they're living on a low income. I think we're at risk of creating a little bit of a two-tiered food system if we don't start to try and bridge this gap. We know regenerative and agroecologically grown food is about double the price of conventionally grown food and therefore is just not affordable for someone living on a low income. But that's not fair because that is the food that is healthier for people and healthier for the planet. And so we really wanted to find how can we play a role here to try and get that food to be more accessible. And so we are currently, we've got a project where we're working with some other values aligned producers and doing some different production experiments to see if we can grow and supply that produce in a way that is in line with conventional produce prices, but is grown in a really, better way.
And are you accepting of ugly fruit?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we, interestingly, I think that as long as it's fresh, our customers know what is good quality. And so, fugly fruit is and vegetables are very welcome. As long as they're fresh.
Yeah. And can I ask you, how do you go about keeping the price down? Because I think I saw on your website that they're about 35% cheaper than the fruit and veg you would get in the supermarket. So how do you manage that?
Yeah, we manage that by effectively not putting a markup from the price that we pay from the wholesale markets. And so we are registered as a not-for-profit and a charity. And so we work really hard to unlock The funding required to help support the operations of what we do. So the funding we need to run the market. We also have a lot of partnerships and we work really collaborative so that, we're popping up in shared spaces where we're not paying leases. So we've got lower overheads. And we do all of that because our mission is about getting produce as affordably as possible. So we're not really in it. We're not in it for a profit in the way that businesses, and so we're able to wear those different markups essentially. So,
Is
sorry,
the oh sorry Anne
are you going?
is the produce that is that you're looking into that is made more regeneratively and sustainably, are you finding that it's true that it's actually more expensive to produce, or is that something that's sort of fabricated? Like, I'm curious where that where that line is.
Yeah, it's a great question. We're not deep enough in the project yet for me to say definitively, but we've definitely identified that there are opportunities where you can get this regeneratively grown produce at a price similar to conventionally grown produce. And the opportunities which are really clear to us is culturally relevant foods, which are they're quite expensive when they're bought through kind of the conventional supply chain. But if we can grow them in a different way with like in a way where it's a bit more of a planned relational growing kind of relationship with a producer, then we can get that at a price that is comparative to what we pay. Similarly, if we work to try and divert gluts or kind of produce that might otherwise end up in the waste stream, but is perfectly saleable, and get that produce at the price of conventional produce. So we just have to get creative and find different ways of working and finding that produce and pulling it out of the supply chain at the right time. And then we are finding, that it is comparative.
So tell us about your Flemington, your new Flemington market.
We're really excited to be launching our fourth market. So Flemington is launching on, or it launched on Saturday, the 20th of April, and it runs every Saturday, rain, hail, or shine, except for public holidays. It's really important to us that we are a reliable food security solution for people, so we want to be there every week. And it runs from 8:30 to 12:30 at Debney Meadows Primary School, which is very close by the Debney Meadows Public Housing Estate. And so we position our markets so that we remove as many of the physical and economic barriers for people who might be experiencing food insecurity. So that's why we really try and set the market up in a place that's physically accessible for the public housing community there. But the market is open to absolutely everybody, and we really welcome people from outside the estate community to come and shop with us. It is wonderful for a number of ways, for a number of reasons. We all need food, and if someone who might not be living on the estate might have a bit more disposable income and ability to come down and shop with us and buy a little bit more, which enables us to buy at a larger scale, reduce our prices even further, whilst people are getting a great produce at a great price. And we know that food insecurity doesn't stop at kind of these boundaries, like public pockets of public housing. We know that
No.
there are people all over Melbourne who are struggling pay
Yeah.
rents and are in all sorts of situations. And so there is absolutely no qualification to come and shop with us, no questions asked. And we really welcome everybody to come down and check it out.
Have you had any politicians or people within the political community reach out to the community growth? So there's a few, people in independents or green seats who talk about some of these ideas becoming more legislated.
We are good friends with a couple of politicians in the Greens. So Ellen Sandel and Adam Bandt in particular have been really supportive of our work. And we are starting to play a little bit more in the advocacy space. To be honest, we've just been really focused on delivering the markets the last however many years we've been doing it, but we're seeing increasingly that there is a really important role for us to play in sharing our model. And, our model is evidence-based. You can see the impact that it has on food insecurity and on community connections. And so we want to share that story with politicians and with people who kind of hold the power and the money to make decisions, and so that there can be more community grocers for more, more suburb across more suburbs and for more
Awesome.
communities.
Can I, do you have a sense of what your impact is of, how many people you're serving and
Yeah, we do a social impact evaluation every 2 years. It's really important for us that we're able to communicate about our tell our story, and the impact that we're having. We are seeking to have impact across two pillars of food security and community connection. The last social impact evaluation identified that we were impacting around 210 households every week through our three markets, and that was around over 7,000 individual customers. And in that time, over the year, we served 230,000 serves of fruit and vegetables. And our customers indicated they increased their fruit and vegetable consumption by 72% as a result of shopping with us, which means people are just able to come down and buy more produce, which means they can eat more produce, which is, we know, is great for people's health, well-being. And then, in terms of community connection, impact result we're really proud of is that 98% of our customers reported that they felt more connected to their community as a result of coming down to shop with us. So, the experience of having a market and a third place at the base of the flats in which they live, or at their local community centre, was really meaningful, and it gave them a space and a place to come down, hang out with neighbours, have a chat with some of our volunteers, have a coffee, and spend some time and connect with people. And so I think that that element of the market is really important. And yeah, we were really proud that so many customers felt so safe and welcomed in the space that we created.
I really like how you welcome everyone. So that takes away that stigma that people might feel that they don't want to go to a charity to get the food. But if they just think that
Absolutely.
it's a grocer and that everyone can go there, so you're just part of a bigger group.
You've hit the nail on the head there, and like that is our reason for being, is that we want to provide dignified access for people to food. It's that dignity piece is so important. We know that there is a growing demand on emergency food relief, and that there is it definitely plays an important role for some people, but there are 56% of people who were food insecure did not access emergency food relief last year. Because for a number of reasons, the main one being stigma. And so we know it's not a solution for everybody, and that we need to have different models and different innovative ways of addressing this. And we really do think our market is just like a beautiful open fresh food market where people come and shop and get a really great price, but it's right where they live, which is brilliant.
Okay, so we have to end up now. So that is all we've got time for. So thank you so much for coming in, Georgia.
Thank you. It was lovely to chat.
And so they can people who want to visit the market can go to Carlton, Pakenham, Flemington, and where's the other one again?
Fitzroy is our last
Fitzroy.
one.
Fitzroy. So if you want to go there, if you live in the area and see what's on offer.
Or if you're out of area.
A pardon?
Or if you're out of area, I think Georgia
Sure,
was
yeah.
saying.
Sure, yep.
Yeah.
We are Anne Stanley and Amy Chiara, and our guest today was Georgia Savage from the Community Grocer. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to find out more about the Community Grocer, you can go to, can you just end that sentence for me, Georgia? Because.
Sure. Go to www.thecommunitygrocer.com.au, and there's lots of information there about all of our markets and then volunteering opportunities as well if anyone's interested.
Yeah, so that's where you'll get the address of the market and everything to find out where to go. As usual, go to localfoodconnect.org.au to find events you can attend in the coming week. If you want to support independent media, please subscribe to 3CR. Until next week, Love the land you're on, share your surplus, and take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
We've been looking up, we've been messing around, we've been freaking out, but it's time to get down, 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 'cause we're made up.